In a smaller finance team, you want to be the partner that provides the strategic insights and isn't just crunching the numbers in the background. How do you kind of transition to that value add strategic business partner that actually like drives forward those decisions?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another For the Love of Finance. Super excited here today. For the Love of Finance is a podcast that gets to talk with finance, CFOs, leaders from all different industries, all walks of life, all across the globe, sharing their practical insights, their knowledge, and tips and strategies to help you accelerate your career. And today, I'm super excited to be joined by Tanja Fisher, who's going to be joining us here today on For the Love of Finance.
Hey there. Yeah, excited to be here.
Cool, cool. So one of my first questions that I always like to ask guests when we tee it up is, how'd you get started in finance? And tell us about your journey.
I'm probably like a little bit non-standard, but yeah, I actually moved to the UK when I was 18 and I worked here as an au pair and then went traveling for a bit before I decided I actually really like the UK and I would love to go study here. So I ended up studying biology and psychology here in the UK, but I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do afterwards. I just knew that kind of like academia and lab work wasn't really for me. So I really wanted to find something where ideally I can kind of like get my hands on and yeah, just learn by doing. And I was really hoping that I would be able to get to that by stepping into a more professional role. And at that point, I came across the role of an operations associate at a London-based startup called Tessian. And the role and mission, like immediately, like I knew it was going to be for me. And when I first joined, I worked across all areas of operations, so legal, infosec, IT, a bit of finance, as well as people and kind of like office management. It was a really, really good way to see how those different functions support the rest of the business and then help me build like a really thorough understanding of how these functions work. And yeah, I really enjoyed my exposure to all of those different areas and I got to do loads of fun things. So for example, I got to organize the Series B fundraising party, which was just super, super fun. And I also had a stint in IT, which just taught me a lot about security practices, as well as like general IT best practices. And I also spent a lot of time reviewing our contracts. And yeah, that laid a really solid foundation when I was thinking about how do we build processes and like making sure that our commercial team could access information quite easily. But finance was the thing that kind of stood out to me the most because it allowed me to be super cross-functional and I'm quite a detail-oriented person and I really enjoyed kind of like getting stuck into those weeds and like really, really getting into the detail of finance. And our CFO at the time, like she was doing CIMA exams. And she was actually the one who prompted me to kind of give them a go if I was serious about pursuing a career in finance. And yeah, it was really, really helpful to kind of like have her there. Obviously, quite different to having a cohort of similar people who are going through like the exam journey together. It was just me and her. And yeah, it wouldn't have been possible without like super supportive colleagues and managers around me at the time who kind of gave me the space to be able to pursue those exams on top of working. And yeah, that just solidified my journey and pivot into finance full time. Like having that generalist background is something that's followed me along for my entire journey. So I was a generalist ops person in the beginning, turned into a generalist finance person, and that's something that I would say I still am to this day. When I left Tessian, I joined a startup called Spill. They provide mental health care for employees. But there I joined again in a very similar capacity of like the first person to sort out kind of like biz ops. But the biggest need was in finance. So that's kind of where I ended back up. And again, just kind of covering all areas of finance. And yeah, I'm quite used to being the only finance person in a function for a little while. So kind of building up those initial processes and just putting in place the like the basic frameworks to be able to scale a function of that. It's something that I really enjoy and like something that I've been able to do like a couple of times now, and it just gives me immense joy to put into place those initial building blocks to then be able to build a team kind of like on top of that and continuing to improve it.
I love it so much, and like how you shared like your diverse background and you kind of jumped right into it. It's crazy because like I have a similar background. Like I started off in public accounting at Ernst & Young. I did the whole like auditing thing, and then I quickly realized like I'm not meant for like busy seasons. I'm not meant for this like to be like a number spell checker, which is basically like an auditor. Yeah. I can't do this. So I jumped into my first startup. And like you mentioned, and where the topic we're going to talk about today is like successful finance strategies for startups and scale ups is like, I think jumping into a startup when you want to get that, if you're on the fence about finance, if you want to learn more about it, like that's one of the best avenues because as you mentioned, right, you're going to be doing a lot of different things. I had a similar background and come in, I'm always like the first finance person, but it's not just the first finance person. There's been time I had to review legal contracts and I had to do HR stuff and I'm ordering lunch for the sales team. And I'm like, you wear so many different hats at like a startup scale up. And I like how you mentioned it's like, yeah, I got into finance, but you quickly branched out into different areas of the business. And as you mentioned, building those core like foundational processes, what better way to build it when it's like a startup scale up company that doesn't even have that? And they're like, we didn't even have anybody in finance before. So like take the foundations and build it yourself. So one of the other questions I have that I kind of leads into that is, what are some finance strategies that you found in that been successful to you in supporting growth for scale up and startup companies?
Yeah, I think one of the main things to put in place when you first join and like you're joining basically with a blank slate and nothing has been put in place. Like the main focus for me initially was like putting into place like very basic like finance operational processes that would enable scale later down the line, because you can't really do any kind of like meaningful modeling if the data sources aren't really in a position to be able to do that. So having in place even something as simple as just like a payment processor or like an expense solution, anything like that would just facilitate those very, very like low level basic finance processes just helps a lot, especially when there's not a lot of capacity in the team. And then the next most important thing is definitely around like having something that facilitates being able to like model scenarios and like being able to provide some level of insight into like how the company is doing. And especially for an early stage business, the thing that they will care about the most is like, how much cash are we burning? Like what does our runway look like? Like these kind of figures, like having them available is something that's so key, especially like for those early stage companies. Like being able to provide those numbers as and when they want is key to being able to actually like support the business. And obviously as you grow, there will be lots of other metrics that you also want to look at, but just like having the foundations in place to be able to showcase those very basic metrics as and when leadership wants to is something that's quite impactful in terms of just getting that out of the different data sources that might not be connected at all at that point in time, but just providing a picture of like, how is the business doing at this point in time? And like having that visibility is key, especially if you're still quite early in your growth journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love where you mentioned like the foundation and like one of the core processes. So I lead a global fractional CFO and advisory service company called Fresh FP&A. We work with a lot of different startup and scale up companies, high growth startup scale up companies in a lot of different industries. And one always way that I see like that decision with finance coming on board is just like the go or no go for like investment opportunities, right? Because you know, you're a startup in scale ups and you constantly find yourself in this position where there's like opportunities popping up like all the time, right? Like, should we go explore this? Should we do this? Should we do this? And I think one of the core processes that I've always liked to implement is like a go, no go in those opportunities, right? Like, how do you make sure you have a scalable way of looking at these different opportunities? That way you're not like distracted and running after everything. Cause that in some of the startup and scale up companies that I've helped build, that's been like a factor that limit our growth is because we're running after too many things, right? You can't, I always say it's like, you can't, if you have a list of 12 things that you're trying to improve in like a quarter, you're not going to be able to dedicate a lot of time to that. So how do you prioritize and how can finance help set like that go, no go decision, whether it comes to investments, whether it comes to hiring people, where it comes to, you know, looking at different levels of capital? That's really a way to be able to accelerate that. And it, to me, as you mentioned earlier, that's one of the core processes for finance teams is like so many times before it was no go, no go decision. It was like, yeah, sounds good. Do it. Right. Like, here's the money. Go do it. But when you have to be more sophisticated and you move from that startup to that scale up mindset, you have to be able to have those decisions in there. And I as you mentioned, like having those foundational frameworks and processes, and just having the business buy in on them and say, like, look, this is why we have this process, and we have this process because this is how we scale, right? This is how we make better data-driven decisions that are more collaborative when we need to move forward. So when you look at building high-performance finance teams and startups, what are some of those core qualities and characteristics that you look for in a high-performing finance team, specifically for startup and scale-up companies?
Yeah, I think the main thing that comes to mind for me, like when you think about your team overall, is that you want to have trust there. Like everyone has their role to play, and you want to be able to trust your team to get their work done. I think as soon as you enter the kind of like micromanagement territory is where you start to lose productivity for yourself as well as your team members. The kind of like culture should be around like trusting your team members to get their stuff done. But overall, like when you think about finance and startups, I think the other factor that plays into it is just like the only kind of constant is change. Things change all the time. So you need to have people on board that are kind of like flexible, adaptable, not scared in the face of uncertainty, which is something that's kind of like a constant throughout startup life. And being able to kind of like facilitate like communication with the rest of your team, like be that if they're in the same room with you or if they're on the other side of the world, like having those channels of communication where you can raise things and you know that people will respond when they need to, like having that kind of basis in place will really help kind of get the team to the next level.
You hit on two really great ones in trust and change, right? And like, I want to talk a little bit more and dive into like the change aspect of it, because that's a difficult part, right? Yeah. When you're the startup scale up company and you're constantly moving, right? You're making like pivot or persevere decisions sometimes on a daily basis, right? I remember being at a startup software company, and I remember looking at cash burn and cash runway. It was two of our major statistics that we looked at every day. And I remember waking up every day, and the first thing I look at is like our bank account. How did that compare to what our forecast was? And we would break cash out on a like hourly basis. Like we got down to that level of monitoring our cash that we were looking at it every day. And if we were past our forecast or things were delayed, like we had to make like change decisions like that day, right? So that second aspect that you talk about in change, you're constantly moving, you're constantly, but I also think like making those changes and making those decisions, right? It shouldn't just be in a vacuum, right? Sometimes in a lot of startup scale up companies, that change direction only lies with like the CEO or the founder, or it only lies with the owner of the business. And where finance can really help is saying, okay, if we're going to make this pivot or persevere decision and we're going to make this change, let's make sure we're looking at the right things around it, right? I think too many times, a lot of startup scale ups, when they make that change, it's like an emotional, right? It's like, oh, this doesn't feel right. Well, I get it that it doesn't feel right, but where finance can help is like, I get that you say it doesn't feel right, but let's go look at the data. What is the data telling us? What is the data telling us? What do we say we're going to do? What did we do? And should we make that decision to move forward, or should we just completely change direction? Like, that's a really important part. And it kind of talks about the first point that you mentioned in those foundation processes. Like, you have to establish that relationship. But it even builds on your first point in trust, right? Like, You can't sit across from a CEO, business owner, or founder of a startup that doesn't trust you and expect them to say, hey, when we want to make change decisions, I want to be part of it. So I like how you combine both of those, because you have to first establish the trust in the business. And then when you establish that trust and you put that parameters around the change side of it, now it's like, hey, I know finance is my trusted partner. And I know when they're bringing value to when we're making these decisions around changing the business, that they're bringing a quantitative side and not just a qualitative side that I may feel about the business. So I love your point about breaking those down between trust and change, because like those are really important things for finance teams, but it's honestly really important things for any startup or scale up business.
Yeah, I think it definitely applies across functions, and like having those kind of like foundational like trains of thought around those pillars, it's important that, yeah, you support your people as well, like especially if it's not just you in any given team, which likely isn't the case. Most people and most teams have more than one person in them. So just like building that culture where you can rely on the other people in your team in order to deliver what you need to deliver on.
This is a great segue to my next question. What advice would you give to those finance professionals that are in startup, scale-up companies right now, and they're looking to be a more collaborative partner outside the finance, right? Like startup and scale-up, when you're inside of that role, you can't just be in the silo over in the corner, just hammer through your Excel documents. Like you have to go collaborate inside the business, and you seem like a great collaborator and connector. So what are some advice that you would give those people that are seeking the insights or seeking the advice of improving their collaboration with finance to non-finance? What's some of your insights?
Yeah, so other departments definitely need to see finance as kind of like the strategic partner that can add value. So the first step there is you want to build that relationship. And ideally, finance obviously should be involved in the strategic planning and processes of other departments to kind of ensure the financial considerations are something that are built in from the ground up. But again, like that relationship obviously doesn't come overnight. It again follows on from trust and like establishing that relationship and like finance as a reliable partner. That's kind of step one to set in place successful collaboration. And I think a few other aspects that kind of play into that as well. Not everyone wants to be like really deep in the numbers all the time. Like you need to be able to present information in a way that's digestible and understandable for non-finance staff. So be that something more visual or just something like a little bit more concise and summarized. Like you need to keep in mind that the audience that you're conversing with might not think about things the exact same way as you do. So you need to kind of like understand where they are coming from as well and what information they want to see and how they want to see that information, like in what format does it make the most sense to them? And those are kind of considerations that come into play as well. And obviously, if you have like any integrated systems that make it easy for other departments to like check stuff on demand, like that's obviously kind of like the next step and a huge plus if people can kind of self-serve and check stuff as you go along. But that's kind of like the nice to have on the next level. The first fundamental point is still kind of the relationship that you build and just defining the information that you're sharing so that your other departments can get the value out of that kind of collaboration that they want.
Nice. I love your second point. And the reason why I want to dive into that one is because I think too many times, right? And your second point was about speaking the business's language, right? Like make sure you're providing information, making sure you're providing data that the business can consume and they can kind of digest. I think so many times a fundamental fatal flaw that a lot of finance professionals make, whether it's startup, scale up, enterprise, mid-enterprise companies, is like, we come in directly for that business person and we speak the finance language, right? We're like, for example, we're saying, hey, I'm looking at your budget and I'm looking at our forecast and we said we'll be at sales of X amount of dollars and we're at Y. Can you explain to me the variance that's Y and when we're going to have a plan that's going to get our forecast back, get our amounts back to the forecast, right? Like when you speak to the business that way, all they hear is just like, oh my God, well, like, what are you telling me? Like, what do you want me to do? But when you can go and it you build that relationship with them and you speak their language and you're saying, hey, like trying to understand, like, okay, we're a little bit behind on our sales forecast. What do you think are some reasons driving that? Like, what are you seeing in the business or what are some ways that I can help or what are some drivers of that? And being more naturally curious and taking that and saying, hey, I want to understand your business and like your point of view on it before just coming in and saying, hey, we're down 30%. Give me a plan of how we get back, right? So I think that's so important to take that step and pause and speak the business's language, right? Speak the language of sales, speak the language of marketing, speak the language of operations, speak the language of client success. Have those opportunities to not only just be the finance, you talked about it before, not just be like the finance commander of the numbers, but actually be the finance partner. I think that's like really, really important of what you highlighted. Another question I have for you is, what do you think is some of the biggest challenges facing finance teams today?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think there's definitely a few things that come to mind here. Like, especially in a smaller finance team, you want to be the partner that provides kind of the strategic insights and isn't just crunching the numbers in the background. That's kind of following on from what we've just talked about. That's definitely like a challenge. Like, how do you kind of transition away from the more traditional, just like financial reporting, to that value add strategic business partner that actually like drives forward those decisions? And that's something that, like, I think every finance professional will have to kind of navigate at some point in their career. The other kind of thing that comes to mind here is just the kind of interface of finance and AI. I think it's a super exciting, I would probably call it more of an opportunity than a challenge, but obviously it's still something that needs to be harnessed in the right way to actually like get any value from it. But I think there's some exciting like developments out there. So for example, like using AI to forecast, like predicting trends based on historical data, like that's quite exciting. And there's also tools out there that now completely automate your revenue recognition by like scanning your contract documents and spitting out like a completely finished revenue schedule, which is something that, yeah, wouldn't have been possible really before AI. And to the point of kind of like Gen AI and LLMs, I think they're a really useful tool as like a starting point. They might not give you like the exact answer, but they often give you like a potential solution that you can then refine into what you want the final product to be. So I think there's definitely like a lot of potential out there to leverage AI to kind of like finance's advantage, especially on stuff like if you're drafting like a policy. Of course, you could in and do that from scratch, but you could also like, if you understand like how to engineer the prompts properly, like you can get a really good starting point that you can then tailor to your needs. And it's definitely something that has huge potential. I'm excited to see what kind of other developments will come in that field.
Man, you hit the nail right on the head. Technology as a way for finance teams to scale their value is like, that's the new wave, right? And not, as you mentioned, not necessarily like a challenge, but definitely an opportunity. And I see finance as an organization that if we can move a little further up in that technology adoption curve, right? We don't just be like the technology laggards, but actually move up in adoption of technology. Mm-hmm. The opportunities that we have to not only be great finance business partners, as you talked about, right? But able to drive business growth, able to be great collaborators, able to build connection, able to bring clarity, like all these things that AI will never replace, like communication, mm-hmm. collaboration, connection, like it's not going to replace those. And that's really, when you look at high level, the overall value that business looks at of finance, right? Like, because you're able to do like a great financial model or great calculations, like that's already expected out of finance. Like you don't get a pat on the back and nobody's like rewarding you because you did a great financial model. Like you're supposed to do that stuff. But when we're able to venture outside of some of those core competencies like communication, like collaboration, or as you mentioned, being a great strategic value add partner, and we can leverage technology with that, man, the future and the opportunity and the value and honestly the fun we'll have in that, right? Like that sounds like a fun place to be, where I'm a value partner in the business, I'm adopting great technologies, and I'm able to help the business scale. Like everybody wins in that situation. So
yeah, exactly. And especially with like businesses becoming more and more global as well, and just like being more connected across the globe, which obviously also comes with its own challenges for various tax considerations for different countries, different states. And again, like leveraging software that's potentially out there to help answer some of those questions and streamline some of those operations is something that without that, it wouldn't really be possible on the same scale as it is nowadays and as it will be in the future.
I've enjoyed our conversation so much. And one last question I have for everybody, I say this to every guest. What does people greater than profit mean to you?
That's a great question. And I think personally, like people are your most important asset as a company because they define your company's output. So empowering your employees so they can do their best work, and that can be through various mechanisms, feedback, learning and development, anything like that. And one of the ways, again, that you can make people feel empowered is through transparency. Like people will recognize and appreciate information that's shared with them. And it also fosters a culture of openness where people can feel safe to debate and challenge. And again, that's usually a net positive for the business. And by being open, you show that you care about keeping your employees in the loop.
I love it. Transparency and creating that community and that culture of openness and just discussion and leaving it all on the table. I love that insight. Thank you so much for taking the time for the Love of Finance. If people want to learn more, connect with you, follow you and what you're doing, where can people reach out to you? What's the best place that they can connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a simple person. I'm on LinkedIn, and that's probably the kind of like main way to connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And to everybody that listened, watched this on all the different platforms, if you've enjoyed this conversation, share it across your network, share these insights. If you really like this, share it across your network, subscribe, make sure you follow For the Love of Finance on all your podcast stations. And thank you so much, Tanja. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your insights. And thank you for everybody for this For the Love of Finance.
Thank you.